This is Artbeat, WMUK's weekly look at creativity and the arts in Southwest Michigan. I'm Zinta A-Stars. When Lori Yvesque earned her degree in food and biological process engineering at Purdue University, she didn't see herself as a sheep farmer yet. Her career began at Kraft, where she was a food engineer. But that all changed when she was asked to create a lighter and thinner waffle by adding wood pulp. That's right, wood pulp. Yvesque left the world of big ag and became an organic farmer, raising food for her family. Then something else caught her attention, the clothing she and her family wore.
There has been a trend in the fashion industry over the last 20, 30 years. It's called fast fashion. And if you go to a clothing store and see something that you want but aren't a type of person to buy it immediately and said, I'll just check back in a week or two, you'll go back in a week or two and it's not even available on the sale bins. The stores want you to come in often and change over your wardrobe so that you keep buying. But what happens to all the clothes that we're discarding? People feel very good about being able to donate it to the needy. But there's so much clothing that gets either donated or goes directly to the landfill that not even the organizations that sell donated clothing, say just in this country, they can't keep up with it.
Yeah.
So there's an industry of sending those clothing in huge bales to underdeveloped nations. That's what the people there are buying. And unfortunately, that has a cascade effect where any textile industry in those countries gets destroyed. The other aspect of the fast fashion is that clothing produces a lot of environmental impacts. If you want to see images of it, the movie Fast Fashion shows astonishing views of the waterways in countries like Bangladesh and Pakistan and all over Southeast Asia, where so much of our clothing is made. And you can tell from day to day what color clothing, what color cloth they're making by the color of the rivers and streams that they're using for their drinking water, for their cooking water and everything. So I've long wanted to work on relocalizing clothing as a next step from relocalizing food, which I've been involved with for a long time. So a lot of people don't realize the impact of that clothing. So part of my idea has been to make more everyday wearable clothes out of fiber from the region.
Yeah.
Instead of just buying high fashion things like for other beautiful things that you don't necessarily wear and use on a day-to-day basis from fibers here.
Yeah.
There are a lot of fiber artists in the greater Kalamazoo area. There's various guilds, the Weavers Guild of Kalamazoo, there's a fiber guild in Grand Rapids, and there's a huge community of fiber people that meet at fiber shows throughout the region. There are people making clothing and making yarn and making cloth. So the beginnings of the infrastructure are here. Very few people are making everyday type clothes. And the other aspect is reminding people that if you want the best quality clothing, even if it's an everyday clothing, that you will have to spend more for it, but it's going to last a long time. Yeah.
This is Artbeat on WMUK. I'm Zinta A-Stars. I asked Yvesque about the natural dyes she grows and uses on the wool from her sheep.
In addition to the vegetables and the food that we eat that we're growing at our farm, I am growing quite a number of dye plants. I started dabbling with dyeing maybe 15 years ago. There's a lot of plants that can give color to fibers.
Mm-hmm.
There's a much smaller number of dye materials that can give colors that are color fast and light fast and vibrant because we do like
bright colors.
Bright colors.
Yeah.
So some of the dye plants that I am growing include Coreopsis, which has some varieties which are native to the United States. The one that I grow is Dyer's Coreopsis. The inner part of the, both the petal and the center part of the flower is like a deep reddish orange color. That's a fantastic dye that has been used for at least hundreds of years. I'm also growing Japanese indigo. There are very few plants that can make real blue colors, and Japanese indigo is one of them. Japanese indigo is a temperate plant, although it is frost sensitive. So you, just like tomatoes, you grow it within the season. I start it inside and then transplant it out. But that produces some beautiful blues. I'm growing madder, which is what was traditionally used to make the red color of the British Army, the red coats. It was used for those colors, and you can get a whole range of colors from burgundies and brick reds and almost pinks and a gorgeous range of colors. That was used in Europe for thousands of years. It's used less so now. Cochineal was discovered in Mexico through South America. That was used, and cochineal is an insect that lives on cactuses. I am looking to expand the range of colors that I can get from plants that I can grow. Other ones include, I'm not purposely growing it because it grows everywhere, and that's goldenrod. So I'm using those to dye yarns, whether it's hand spun or machine spun. And one of the things that's really popular in knitting and other fiber arts are variegated yarns. They're quite a bit more difficult to produce with natural dyes. And the way I'm doing it is I'll have a skein of yarn and I'll divide it using just yarn into four parts. Each of those four parts will get a different mordant. And a mordant is a compound that helps the dye attach to the yarn. So if I mordant each quarter a different color, then I can put the whole skein into one dye bath and get four different colors. Yeah.
Depending on the plant, you're using flowers, roots, leaves?
Flowers, roots, leaves. There are barks of trees, like Osage orange is a native tree, and that can give some fantastic colors. And then there's the insects. There's some insects that do blues. None of those, the insects that do blues or the insects that do red don't live here, but they're available. You know how you can get fair trade coffee and fair trade chocolate?
Right, right.
I don't know if there are sources for fair trade dye materials yet. And that's what I would like to find that, because it always concerns me when it comes from a country, say like Pakistan or some country in the world where they're known to have labor issues, human rights abuse issues.
Sure,
and I don't want to support things like that. So finding sources for those dye materials that I would like to use that give me a broader range of colors to produce, and making sure that the people who produce that are also treated fairly.
I'm Zinta Astars. You've been listening to WMUK's Artbeat, our weekly look at the creative arts. I've been speaking with fabric artist Lori Yvesque. You'll find Yvesque and her natural dyed yarn in the Natural Cycles booth at the Kalamazoo Farmers Market. Visit WMUK.org to hear more of our conversation. And join us every Friday at this time for Artbeat. Thanks for listening.